Number two, as we continue studying through this book here on Sunday mornings, I trust that you are being encouraged and strengthened through this wonderful epistle. Only five chapters, but great truth that God gives us. And I'm so thankful that God desires to inform us. He does not want us to be ignorant. And we find that even as we've looked through the passages of Scripture and we've understood, and really last week coming to the first of that reference in which we see the word know used repeatedly, and that God wants us to know that we belong to Him, and what a joy and what a blessing. I'm thankful for the security that we have in Christ. And last week I preached a message that I entitled from verse number 6, Walk as He Walked, and we noted the contrast in behavior between the saved and the lost. And we understand that the commandments, plural, were in view within those verses of Scripture in verse 3 down through verse number 6. And we spoke about that internal work that God is doing in the life of His people, in the life of His children, and how that internal work is evidenced on the outside, the external evidence of the work that Christ is doing on the inside. This morning, in verses 7 down through verse number 11, we see that the Apostle John turns to a single commandment and a single subject matter that is of significant importance. I've titled the message this morning, Love One Another. And really we see that the subject in this portion of Scripture is that of brotherly love. In fact, it is something that will be repeated throughout this epistle. We find that John will refer to the people as beloved. We find that he speaks about the love of God, and I'm so thankful for God's love, and I'm so thankful that we know that even as this book tells us, we love Him, Christ. Why? Because He first loved us, and we understand that, and we find that He gives us much instruction with regard to loving our brethren. We understand, just as we kind of review quickly in verses 3 through 6 from last week, that we mentioned there was a test that was given. Remember in verse number 3, it says, And hereby we do know that we know Him, notice, if we keep His commandments. And we said that the test that was given would reveal that we know Him, and He wants us to know that we know Him. He wants us to be secure in our relationship with Him, and what a blessing. And we find that He said in verse number 6, He that saith he abideth in Him, himself also so to walk even as He walked. And what a blessing to know that we're saved. What a terrible thing to go through life and not knowing from moment to moment, day by day, whether we're truly saved or not, thinking that it's dependent upon something that we did or we could do. We understand, as we've mentioned last week, that no one's ever been saved, no one will ever be saved by keeping His commandments. But we find that He says that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Jesus said this, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we'll see that that will resurface itself again in chapter number 5 of this short epistle. Jesus said that in the Gospel of John. So we find that was the test, and that's what we were able to discover last week. This week, however, we find that the test is slightly different. The test that is given to us this week, the results of the test in this portion of Scripture will determine whether we are walking in the light. And remember our theme for this year, we have it on the banners, we've passed it out, made it available on a whole host of things, sermon notebooks and calendar and our bookmarks and what have you, walking in the light. And here's the reality, anyone can say whatever they want to say. Right? We noticed that last week. He that saith, I know him, in verse number 4. We found it in chapter number 1 multiple times when we say, if we say. Here in this portion of Scripture, in verse number 9, he that saith, he is in the light. And it's easy to say anything. We're to walk in the light. Remember verse number 7 of chapter 1. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, and we'll look at the rest of that verse in just a moment, but really, how do I know if I'm walking in the light? We said that walking in the light would be synonymous with being with walking in the Spirit, walking in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, walking in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, for we know that He is light, according to 1 John 1 and verse number 5, according to John chapter number 1. He is light. In him is no darkness at all. And so if I walk in the light as he is in the light, and if I say that I'm walking in the light, is there some test, is there some way to be able to examine and determine, am I walking in the light? Well, this morning we see the first of these tests that are given in our portion of Scripture. It's been quite evident as we've looked at this short book, the book of 1 John, that we can say whatever we want. I mentioned that a moment ago, but if we walk in the light, we remember from our previous study in 1 John 1 and verse number 7, it says that we have fellowship one with another. I made point of dealing with that subject because often when we think about walking in the light, we think about our fellowship that we have with God, and certainly that is true. We're walking in the light as he is in the light. We're having fellowship with God. But the emphasis placed in verse number 7 of 1 John 1 is that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the fellowship that we have on Wednesday evening, our prayer bulletin, one of the things that we thank the Lord for was fellowship. And I'm so thankful for the privilege of fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And what a blessing. And as we walk in the light, we were told, we were reminded that we'll have fellowship one with another. But I want you to notice in verse number 10 of 1 John chapter number 2, and really the portion that we're looking at this morning, the Bible says this, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." And so we find that in verse number 10 of 1 John chapter number 2, we are given, we are provided by God an external evidence of what it is to walk in the light. If I love my brother, then it says that I'm abiding in the light. Remember, we said in verse number 6, "He that saith he abideth in me ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." That word abide is, of course, the Lord used that in John chapter number 15 in speaking of the importance of abiding in him. And here, John tells us, if we want to know that we're walking in the light, that one test that we can give ourselves, one way of confirming that we're walking in the light, is not just by what we say, but how we love. How we love. See, in verse number 9, the Bible says, "He that saith he is in the light," he that saith, right? You can say whatever you want to say, "he that saith that he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." So we find that this one professes that he's walking in the light. We find that the admonition was given that we're to walk as he walked. In verse number 6, we find that he says that we're to walk in the light in verse number 7 of chapter number 1. And there are some that will say, "I'm walking in the light." But John says, if you say that you walk in the light, but you hate your brother, that in fact you're in darkness. Notice in verse number 9, we mentioned a moment ago, it says, verse number 11, it carries on with verse number 9, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." And so we see in verse 9, this one says that he's walking in the light, but he hates his brother. And the one that hates his brother, he's not walking in the light as Christ is walking in the light. He's walking in darkness. But verse number 10, the contrast that is provided here, it says this, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." As we look at this portion of Scripture, it's interesting as it kind of goes back to verse number 7 and where we'll start looking and kind of digging through this morning. I want you to notice how John approaches this subject of love one another. In verse number 7, he says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning." And he says this in verse 8, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." As we look at verses 7 and 8, there could be, at surface level, a contradiction, a level of confusion, because he says, I write no new commandment in verse number 7, but in verse number 8, he says again, a new commandment I write unto you, and you say, well, what is it? Is it an old commandment? Is it a new commandment? And what is it, John, that you're trying to convey to us? We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable, and there's no confusion here. In fact, as you look at the portion of Scripture, what John is referring to in verse number 7, when he speaks of that old commandment, is the reality that these people and the people of God, as you study the Word of God, you would have known from the Pentateuch that we're to love one another. The truth of loving one another is given to us in the book of Leviticus. In fact, in Leviticus 19, in verse number 18, it says that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In verse number 34, it's speaking about the strangers that would be among them, and it says thou shalt love him as thyself. And so this commandment that he's referring to, this old aspect in verse number 7 that they would have had from the beginning, it's in the Pentateuch, it's a known truth that you're to love one another. But we find that the newness of the commandment is given to us in verse number 8, and we must remember that John the Apostle was with the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 13. And as he's there with Jesus in John chapter number 13, in verse number 34, and we'll look at the passage a little bit later this morning, but we find that Jesus says this, a new commandment I give unto you. What was that commandment that Jesus gave? That you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So what was the shift? What was the newness of this commandment? It was no longer that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. But now we have the responsibility to love one another in the manner in which Jesus loved. He says, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And so we find in verse 7, in verse number 8, there's no contradiction. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he walks upon the face of the earth during his earthly ministry, he demonstrated a level of love that had not been known to those people up to that point. The agape love of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God Almighty, and it's on full display in the people that Jesus interacted with. They had never seen love in this way. They had never experienced love in this manner. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And as Jesus Christ, God is love. This book tells us this, the book of 1 John, and we find that God is love. And as he walked upon the face of the earth, they had the privilege of seeing love manifested. And it was different than anything they had ever experienced. You know, it's interesting as you look at the Sermon on the Mount, we don't have time this morning to deal with that, but you'll find that even contained within that portion of Scripture, he says, you have heard to love your neighbor and to hate your enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Man, that's just turn your world upside down. Jesus, he begins to deal with the heart, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, we find that Proverbs 4 tells us to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we find that Jesus begins to deal with the heart. He says, you understand the commandment that you're not to commit adultery. And then he says this, but if you think on a woman to commit adultery with her, you've already done it. Oh man, all of a sudden, again, the change that Jesus is bringing and the way in which he's peeling back the truth of Scripture. And with this particular subject matter of love, that's why John's using this phraseology of a new commandment. It's the same thing he heard Jesus say. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Yeah, we know that. No. But as I have loved you. Notice, as we look at this portion of Scripture and think of this subject matter of love one another, I want you to consider the truth imparted, the truth imparted. What a great truth it is. Go back to the book of John. I've referenced already John 13 and verse number 34 a few times where the Bible says, as we've mentioned here in this point, that Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." But look over in chapter number 15, if you will, of the Gospel of John. John chapter number 15, look down at verse number 12. In John 15 and verse number 12, again, John the apostle would have been here and would have been hearing, receiving these words from Jesus Christ on the eve of him going to the cross of Calvary. The greatest demonstration of the love of God Almighty was when he went to that cruel cross for your sin and for my sin. And we find on the eve of that, that Jesus is telling his disciples, "Love as I have loved." In John 15 and verse number 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Look at verse number 17. "These things I command you, that ye love one another." We find that the church in Ephesus is given the encouragement in Ephesians 5 in verse number 2 with regard to this matter of love. We find that the churches that are being written to are encouraged with this subject matter of loving one another. And we find it in Ephesians 5 in verse number 2. The Apostle Paul, as he's ministering to these believers in Ephesus, he's encouraged them and he's helped them to identify how they are to walk because of their position in Christ. The position that they have as being saved people is established in the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, and now the outflow, the outworking, the external evidence, our walk is being dealt with in chapters 4 through 6. And notice in Ephesians 5 and verse number 2, "And walk in love, how? As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Aren't you thankful that he did that? When he went to that cruel cross, and Paul encourages these believers in Ephesus, and he says, "Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us." Remember, it's in this same portion of Scripture in Ephesians 5 that the instruction is given to the husbands in verse number 25 of Ephesians 5. "Husbands, love your wives." How? "Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Wow. We find that the believers in Thessalonica, what a great church. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, look there if you will. What a great church this is, and God allowed the Apostle Paul to be used from a human perspective to see this church established, and he commends them in both the first chapter of the first epistle and the first chapter of the second epistle with regard to their walk and their behavior and their growth. And there's a good church, a model church. And I want you to notice what is said in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 9. He says this, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you." Notice this, "For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." He's reminding them of this truth. Notice what he says in verse number 10, "And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia." They were loving one another as they had been commanded to. But Paul continues and says, "But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." Wow. Increase in your love one for another. We find that this truth is given by Peter. Notice in 1 Peter chapter number 1, as you look in this great letter and understand the difficulties in which these people that are scattered abroad, the persecution in which they're dealing with, and the turmoil in which they're facing, and we find that Peter will deal with the subject matter of love, of charity. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22, notice the Bible says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Wow. He says that it's, notice how it's described, unfeigned love of the brethren. He says that it's to be a love one for another that's with a pure heart fervently. We're told in the book of Romans that love is to be without dissimulation, without pretense. It's to be pure. We find that in 1 Peter 4, turn over just a page or two and see in verse number 8, Peter dealing with the subject matter of love, of charity, he says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Fervent charity. It's interesting, for he said, remember there in verse 22 of the first chapter, with a pure heart fervently. And then he says, have fervent charity. And what a blessing to think about the admonition, the instruction, and we see the truth that's being imparted. We find it here in the book of 1 John that we're studying this year, and we find it in this first chapter that John says, listen, we're to walk in the light, we're to walk as he walked. But I want you to understand that you can take this self-test, you can examine yourself to determine, am I walking in the light as he is in the light? Well, how's your love for one another? Because if you say that you walk in the light, but you hate your brother, you're actually walking in darkness. And so this truth is imparted to the people of God. I want you to consider this, number two this morning, the truth illustrated. The truth illustrated. As we think about the love and the truth of loving one another and understanding that we're to love as Jesus loved, who better to illustrate this truth than Jesus himself? When you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you think about his earthly ministry, and you think about how he went about and all that he did, the interactions that he had, you can see his love on display. You can see that he's loving individuals. I want you to consider in John 13, we looked already at the end of the chapter when he's speaking to his disciples. But before that, we find that in John 13 and verse number 1, the Bible gives us some insight, and it's a phraseology that I think is of significant importance to us when we think about the love that is illustrated, the truth of loving one another that is illustrated in the life of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 13 and verse number 1, the Bible says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, he's speaking about the cross. Look, notice what it says, having loved his own which were in the world, notice this phrase, he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. There are some things that they did. Peter denied the Lord, did he not? Jesus told him that he would deny him. And after Peter heard that cock crow, he looked at Jesus, and Jesus was looking at him, and the Bible says that he wept bitterly. I think it was a look of love. Peter, do you love me? John 21, right? Jesus loved Peter. Jesus loved unto the end. I think about this, you don't need to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 26, the record is given to us with regard to the Lord in the garden and all that takes place, and you'll know that he was, of course, sold. He was sold for just some pieces of silver, and Judas betrayed him, right? And we understand that when Judas enters in, Judas knew where he would be. It was a place that Jesus had often resorted, the Bible tells us. And as Judas goes in there, it's so interesting to me that in Matthew 26 and verse number 50, that Jesus calls his betrayer friend. 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 The one that would give him a kiss of betrayal. Friend. Jesus on the cross of Calvary, after he'd been betrayed by Judas, after he had stood before Pilate and all that had taken place, and after the crowd cries out, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus goes to that cruel cross. It was love that kept him there. There's many last sayings of Christ, 7, if you look at all of the Gospels and examine them. But this one in Luke, in chapter 27, in verse number 34, when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is that not a great illustration of this love that we're speaking of this morning? Love leads to forgiveness. Peter said that we're to have fervent charity. Above all things, have fervent charity among one another, amongst yourselves. Why? For charity covereth a multitude of sins. And we find here that Jesus, His love, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Paul speaks about how he loved the brethren. He said, the more I love, the less I be loved. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 13. We know it as being what? 1 Corinthians 13 is? Come on, you guys asleep or what? The love chapter. So many people refer to it as being the love chapter, right? Charity, 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 charity. All of the description that's given to us with regard to charity. And if you have all of these things and you do all of this stuff, but you have not charity, profiteth nothing. Right? Think about the context of who's being written to in 1 Corinthians 13. A church that had all kinds of problems, right? The church in Corinth is known for its envyings and its divisions, and it's known for its carnality. In fact, they're told, I cannot write unto you as being spiritual. You can't handle it. You're carnal. There's divisions among you. It's not the way that God intended it to be. Jesus said, love one another as I loved you. We find that Paul is writing to those believers and lifting up charity. Remember, these folks in Corinth, they're in all kinds of division. Really, one of the main sources of division for them that's really being dealt with in that portion of 1 Corinthians is that of spiritual gifts. Look at the gift that I have. My gift is better than your gift. And Paul says, let me just remind you that the gift that you have was given to you. Amen? It was given to you by God, and it was given to you for His glory, not for your glory. Amen? And he talks to him about charity, love. The illustration of this truth, I believe, as I mentioned already, the greatest illustration is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're familiar with the truth of Romans 5 and verse number 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The question is asked in the book of Romans, what can separate me from the love of God? What's the answer? Nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Isn't that wonderful? When you think about the truth illustrated, we, though, have the responsibility to love as Christ loved. We have that responsibility. We're given that truth in the Word of God. And I find that it's illustrated beautifully by Stephen in Acts chapter number 7. In Acts chapter number 7, we find that the truth is given to us of this man Stephen and his great sermon, and he's preaching, and what a great message he preaches. We don't have the time to deal with the sermon of Stephen, but we know if we went back to the 6th chapter of the book of Acts, that they were choosing out their co-laborers, the deacons, as we'd often refer to them as, that are selected here, and they had been given some criteria. They were to find men, according to verse number 3 of Acts 6, that were brethren, and look you out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And they select these individuals, and we find that Stephen becomes really the focal point here at the end of chapter number 6 and in chapter number 7. And as Stephen is preaching, and again, what a great message he preaches, and if you read through the message of Acts chapter number 7, you see that he's a man that knew the Word of God. He was a man that understood, that was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and he preached with great power. And the preaching of Stephen led to great levels of conviction to those that were hearing this message. And the Bible tells us that he was full of the Holy Ghost in verse number 55, and he's preaching there, and he looks up steadfastly into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. The witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. They stoned Stephen, Notice it says, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. But I want you to notice in verse 60, and he, Stephen, he kneeled down. He cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. What did Jesus say in Luke 27? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Stephen, as he's taking that final breath, he says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That's a great level of love. Not for our brothers that we're speaking of contextually, but for the ones that were stoning him. Amazing. We think about the context of loving the brethren, love one another. Oh, how we ought to implement this truth that leads us to our final point this morning, the truth implemented. How is it that I can love as I've been commanded to love? How is it that I can have this walk in the light as He is in the light, as He says in 1 John 1 in verse number 7, as He says in chapter 2 in verse number 10, that if I love, the truth is given, the examination, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. How can I abide in the light? How can I, through examination and see that evidence that I love the brethren, that I love as Christ loved, how can I do that? I can only do it through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It's only through the power of God that we can love as Christ loved. Notice in Romans 5 and verse number 5, I know we're going to a number of portions of Scripture this morning, and I got a brand new Bible, so I'm trying to go slower. I gave up my old Bible. I could kind of turn to places just by feeling. It was broken in, you know. You got one of those things, whatever, it's an old sweater, a ball cap, a glove, and it just perfect. And then Juliana said, Daddy, can I have your Bible when I go to college? I was like, man, that's a hard request. Amen. And here we are with a brand new Bible, but I'm thankful for it. Amen. Romans 5, notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. Notice what it says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The moment of salvation, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit of God indwells us. Aren't you thankful for that? He's the earnest of our salvation. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. The proof, the evidence of our salvation is the fact that the Holy Spirit of God indwells every believer. You can read it in Ephesians 1. We understand that 1 Corinthians 6 speaks about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God. It's in you. You have of God. We're bought with a price. We're not our own. But we find that the Bible says here that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost, which is in you, or which is given unto us. Remember the truth of the book of Galatians in the 5th chapter when you consider the fruit of the Spirit. You read in Galatians 5 in verse number 22, the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? Love. The works of the flesh are manifested. He gives them in the preceding verses. There's no love there. Amen? Murders and envyings and all of the strife and the discord. But he says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And on, we see that love, it's through the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us that enables us to love as He loved. It's no longer love your neighbor as yourself, but it's now that we're to love one another as Christ loved. And He loved with a sacrificial love. He loved with an everlasting love, an unconditional love. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful that I'm in the love of God, that God loves me. But His love through us. We mentioned already the church of Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9 and 10, we read the verses a few moments ago. But the Bible says that Paul, when he's speaking to them about this loving one another, he says, and you do it. You're actively following, obeying the command. You've implemented this truth. You're doing what you've been commanded to do. I would say it this way as I compare all of Scripture with this subject matter that is before us this morning. The church in Thessalonica, they were walking in the light because they were loving the brethren. And that external evidence was proof that they were walking in the light. We find that the Apostle John, the one that God used to write this particular book that we're studying this year, 1 John, you know, he wasn't always a loving kind of guy. In Luke chapter number 9, they got some enemies there, and he says, Lord, should we call down some fire and consume these guys? Go back and read it, Luke 9, verse 51 through 56. What's he thinking about? Well, you remember back in the Old Testament, right? Elisha, right? They called fire from heaven. That third servant all of a sudden got a little bit wise and came to Elisha in a little bit different approach because the other two groups that came with 50, they got consumed with fire. This is going to be my demise as well, and so I'm going to come a different way, right? And God tells Elisha, it's okay, go down with them. 2 Kings 1, I believe, is where that's found. And you look and you see what's happening. And that's John. You guys know Abishai, David's Abishai. Sometimes we kind of follow the personality of Abishai. You know what he says? David, let me just smite him one time. I'm not going to stab him twice with the sword, just once. That's what he says about Saul, right? No. We don't want that spirit, right? And we find that John, he wasn't always the one that we read here in 1 John. When he's using the term beloved, when he's speaking about the subject of love. See, the Lord Jesus Christ changed his life. And he learned what it was to walk in the light. And he heard that command that I'm to love as Christ loved. Now think about John. Who better from a human perspective to write on the subject of love than John? Than John. He refers to himself continually through the book of John as being he whom the Lord lovest. He doesn't refer to himself as John. He knew and he had experienced the love. And it's now been implemented, this truth in his life, the Holy Spirit of God that's within him is enabling him to love. What a blessing to see the work of God. And as we walk in the light, that this love for the brethren. Think about believers today. I've referenced already 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. We think about the truth being implemented, the importance of love. Loving the brethren. Romans 12, I mentioned this portion a little while ago as well, or this verse of Scripture. But look in Romans 12 and verse number 9. The Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Our love is to be sincere. There's no pretense. I mentioned that earlier. That love that we have, it's God's love. But I can't do it in my flesh. See, walking in the flesh is the opposite of walking in the light or walking in the Spirit. If we think about walking in the Spirit as being walking in the light, then walking in the flesh is like walking in darkness. And we find that he's speaking here, not being in that darkness of not being saved, but looking at the loving our brothers and the brethren and the importance and understanding that his love comes through us and we love one another. Listen, before I got saved, I didn't have any love for this book. I didn't have any love for God. I didn't have any love for church. I didn't have any love for God's people. Did you? I didn't have love, but I got saved. And all of a sudden, you develop a love for the Word of God. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. In a book that I never read in my life, all of a sudden, I have a desire to read it. A place that I never attended, a church, I have no desire to go. Now, all of a sudden, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss church. I want to be in church at every opportunity. Not just because I'm a pastor. Long before I was a pastor, want to be in church. I want to be where the brethren are. Amen? And you love the brethren. I find it in my life, and I don't mean it to sound unkind. I don't mean it to sound inappropriate. And I think this morning that you could help to identify with this, that after salvation, when we think about our brothers and sisters in Christ and the love that we have one for another, it really exceeds even the physical relationships that we have with family on this earth. You have lost family members, and there's a love for those lost family members, but there's something missing. You find people all over the world that profess their faith in Jesus Christ, and you might just meet them, and it's amazing the bond that you can have. Loving the brethren, something that God does in us. And as we walk in the light, it's going to happen that we love the brethren. But don't say that we walk in the light if we're hating the brethren, because we've really just deceived ourselves. Amen. And as we look at this portion of Scripture in 1 John, and we consider this, I think about the trip I took a few years ago to Mexico, and I'm standing down there, and we're distributing literature, and we're trying to reach people, but I don't speak Spanish. I don't speak the language. I'm at a huge disadvantage. We're in a church, and we're having service, and the church is 100% Spanish. And here's six gringos. None of us speak Spanish whatsoever. I was the most advanced, and any of you that have spoken Spanish with me, you know that's pitiful. We had some guys trying to speak Spanish, and it was like, just don't even try. Seriously, it was bad. Thankfully, we had an interpreter, so we could hear, we could understand what was going on in the service. And I'll never forget it. This man, after the service, he just came and stood there next to me. Spanish man. And he tried to talk to me. I have no idea what he's saying. Not a clue. But he tried to talk to me. He wanted to communicate. And I tried. And we just kind of couldn't get anywhere. But he just stood there. A few minutes would pass and he'd try again. I'm like, my brother, I didn't learn Spanish yet. Like, I still don't understand. No comprendo, right? Like, I got nothing. But what was it that was drawing that? There's a love for the brethren. I want you to think about the impact of this truth. We see the truth imparted. We see it illustrated through the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that we need to implement this truth. We need to understand that as I walk in the light, I'm going to love the brethren. It's an evidence that's here. It's a way in which we can examine our own lives and see where we stand and how our walk with God is. By the way, let me say this. I'm thankful that God gives us some means by which we can evaluate our spiritual growth. Amen? It's not just my criteria. Because if it's my criteria, I'm doing great. And if it's your criteria, you're doing great. And if we're carnal, we become like the Corinthians and we compare ourselves amongst ourselves, right? And guess what we do? When we want to compare ourselves amongst ourselves, who is it that we typically find to compare ourselves to? The best of the best? The lowest of the lowest. You know how many times I've talked to somebody and said, hey, do you, ask them about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Are you a sinner? I never murdered anybody. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, aren't you? Like, I'm glad that you're not a murderer. But that's not the criteria by which we determine if we're a sinner. Amen? I'm not as bad as those other guys. You think about the Pharisees, right? I'm glad I'm not like that publican. Right? And so God gives us some criteria in His Word that we can evaluate our own lives. We can say, we've been told that we're to walk in the light. How am I doing? How am I doing? Is there a love that I have for the brethren? But think about the impact. Turn back to John 13. We'll close here. John chapter number 13. We read verse number 34 a few times already this morning. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Notice the impact in verse 35. By this. By what? By our love one for another. By this. Shall all men, what's that next word? Know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. If you have love one to another. You see the impact? It says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. What does the world think when the church is fighting? What does the world think when the church is divided? Like in Corinth? I'm not talking about over doctrinal things. I'm talking about over petty things. Over insignificant things. Things that matter not in the light of eternity. And there's divisions and there's schisms and there's animosity and hatred. Oh man, we're not showing the world what we're really supposed to show the world. By this, by our love one for another, that we love as Christ loved, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. It's amazing how many people have the opinion of believers being hateful. I spent some time in the presence of someone recently, and I made the statement to this person. They're actually lost. And they asked a question, and I said, well, because I love you. And they said, I just can't understand that. I just can't understand that. They question the love of God, but then to think that some human person that's not of any relation would have a love for them is beyond their comprehension. And when we love the brethren as we've been commanded to do so, and it provides evidence that we're walking in the light, it has a great impact on the society in which we live. And we are called to impact our society, are we not? We're called to make a difference. And this morning, as we think about this, love one another, I trust that God would help us. I can't do it in my own flesh. I can't do it in my own power. I must walk in the Spirit. I must have the fruit of the Spirit, love. I understand it's through the Holy Spirit of God that indwells me, that enables me to love, that enables you to love. Are there going to be some things that are going to challenge our love one for another? You bet. But the reality is that God says that we're to love as He loved. And it was with a perfect love. And the only way I can do that is as I yield myself to Him and allow Him to love through me. That ye love one another. This morning, I walk in the light. I'm walking in the light. Are you? Here's a test for you. How's your love one for another? Because this is a test that you take and you examine yourself and you say, am I walking in light? Am I walking in darkness? It's the love for the brethren that help us to be able to examine and to know that we're walking in the light. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. We've spoke of this subject matter this morning of love. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, that your Holy Spirit would speak to hearts and move in ways that only He can. Lord, you know our hearts. Help us not to be deceived. Help us not to deceive ourselves. Lord, help us to walk in the light as you're in the light. Help us to love as you loved. I pray that, Lord, you would, there's one present that's not sure of heaven, this morning they would understand your love for them. That you love them so much that you came to this sin-cursed world and you died for them. You rose in victory, conquering sin, death, and the grave. You died for them to pay for their sins so they could be saved, become your children, your child. Lord, if there's someone not saved this morning, I pray that they'd get it settled before they leave. those of us that are saved, would you help us to walk in love as the believers in Ephesus are challenged and encouraged. I pray that you'd move and work, have your way. We'll thank you for it. Would you stand with me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.